This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I like it. I like it, Dallas. I like it. I'm a big fan of the Cowboys' new hire at head coach. I like the move. I like the decisiveness. I like the fact that they're already putting their staff together and moving forward quickly before we start to think about free agency and the NFL draft. Mike McCarthy, congratulations on your next head coaching job. The Dallas Cowboys waste no time. It's really interesting that the last time they did a coaching search, they spoke to 10 different guys. Now, I don't remember all the details about how many of those guys they brought back or how many guys were finalists, but they interviewed 10 different candidates the last time they did a head coaching search, which was a little over a decade ago. This time, only two candidates. And Mike McCarthy ended up spending an extra day in Big D with Jerry Jones and his family. So he spent the night at the home of Jones with him and his family, stayed over and spent more time with Jones and Stephen Jones and presumably other Cowboys brass on Sunday. And even before we heard the official announcement and read the official statement that Jason Garrett was out, Jerry and Stephen Jones had already decided Mike McCarthy was their man. That's some kind of a job interview, right? I must confess, I know it's different in the football fraternity. It's a relatively small circle. And of course, McCarthy and Jones already knew each other. But I can't imagine spending the night at my potential boss's home in the middle of the interview process. I feel like that might be some kind of awkward. But I'm a girl, and McCarthy's not, and men are different about these things. So I like the hire for a lot of reasons, which I will share with you. We'll give you as many details as we possibly can as we head through this edition of After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We're in the wake of Wild Card Weekend. We're prepping for what's to come, Divisional Weekend, and then, of course, Monday. So three consecutive days of big-time football games, because Monday is the national championship in college football between LSU and Clemson. I feel like it's been forever since I've watched college football. This Monday night would have been the championship if the playoff committee had stayed with its current or previous format. Instead, they've moved it back a week, and it's odd. It's almost like I've forgotten about college football. It feels like we've been waiting forever since the national semifinals, which were on December 28th. I know the bowl season was still going on. I don't watch bowl games. I'll catch a play here or there, a quarter here or there. I did read somewhere online, probably on Twitter, that bowl season is now officially done, except for the national championship. We survived another one. And so we've got three consecutive days of humongous football games coming up. But I was saying to producer Chris in the newsroom before the show, I want to watch more football now. It was so good over the weekend. I want to watch more now. And actually, we're down to just seven games in the NFL season. Four on Divisional Weekend, two Championship Sunday, and then two big weeks that provide the march to the Super Bowl. We will be on the road in Miami. We're taking our show on the road as we always do during Super Bowl week. In fact, this will be my, let's see, let me count backwards. New York, San Francisco, don't tell me, Houston, Minneapolis, Atlanta. This will be number six in a row. Sixth year in a row. Now, in New York, it was different because I didn't have to worry about traveling or taking taking studios somewhere else and taking the show on the road. But I was conferring with the boss. We've gotten confirmation that we will be doing our show from our home in Miami. 790 The Ticket is our official home in South Florida. I'll be staying in Coral Gables. It's actually the area that I'm most comfortable with. I've done a bunch of different tournaments, basketball tournaments, as well as other conferences and various work trips to Miami. And so this will be, I think, the third or fourth time I've taken my show to Miami, and I'm looking forward to it. We always get treated well. The facilities are great. And we did recently flip-flop from 560 a.m. to 790 The Ticket in Miami. And so we're excited about the opportunity to be there, the home of Super Bowl 54. Wow. The home of Super Bowl 54. That's coming up last week in January. If you're going to be on Radio Row or if you're going to check out some of the fan events, I'm sure they're going to be magnificent, probably better than what we've ever seen before because it is the 100th celebration of the NFL, the 100th year of the league. And so love to see you if you are milling about or going to be in Miami during Super Bowl week. And we'll give you more details as we have them, but we're already starting to work on our scenes, our guests, scenes. We're already starting to work on our plans and our guest list behind the scenes. Brain, mouth, not in sync. But it'll be a lot of fun to be there coming up in just a few weeks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I got halfway through my tweet to tell you what we're talking about, and then the show started, and I didn't finish it. So I'm sitting here staring at my half-written tweet. It's very helpful. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So we'll let you hear the details about Mike McCarthy. What would a Monday be during football season if I didn't wake up to my phone being blown up by a bunch of news? Holy cow, I had texts, I had nerd alerts. Just kidding, they're news alerts, but I like to call them nerd alerts. My phone was all about Mike McCarthy. I was dead to the world, probably 2-3 hours in. Three might be pressing it. I was maybe dead to the world for 2 hours, and I guess I woke up in the early afternoon, and I was overwhelmed by what had happened on my phone while I was sleeping. My phone has its own social life going on, and so I was catching up on the details after the fact, and then, of course, seeing the alerts about Tua Tagovailoa declaring for the NFL draft, which is different from what I'd heard and what, maybe this was wishful thinking, what a lot of people were saying in Tuscaloosa. A lot of people believe that Tua was going to remain in school, even though he wouldn't play next year for the most part. He was going to stay and rehab there. But instead, he makes the tough decision, and I'm sure it was very tough. He makes the tough decision to declare for the NFL draft and signs with Uber agent Lee Steinberg. Lee has been on this show more than once. In fact, one of our conversations is on our YouTube channel. And we hope to talk to him again soon. But what a neat signing for Lee Steinberg. He's had a couple of the young quarterbacks over the last couple of years as he has resurfaced as a quarterback agent. If you don't know his story, it's well documented. And he talks about it all the time on social media. He had some of the highest profile quarterbacks going back 20 years ago or so. And he is the subject. He's the prototype for Tom Cruise's character in, what is the name of that movie? What's the name of the movie about the agent? Show me the money! What's the name of that movie?
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire. Thank you. He is the prototype for Jerry Maguire. That's Lee Steinberg. That's who Lee's character, or that's who the character was built around. And then he lost it all. He struggled really badly with alcoholism. Again, this is something he talks about a lot of the time on social media. He also speaks at conferences and to large groups, and he's written a book about it. he's rebuilt his life and his career. And to have Tua as a client is not only fantastic for Tua and his family, but also for Lee. Lee's a very high character. He's all about working with clients, not just on the football side of things, and to help them get the best contracts and the best situations for their football careers, but also about preparing them for life after football. And in addition, giving them opportunities and showing them the value of investing in the communities in which they live and work. And so this seems like a really great pairing to me. So you hear from Tua as well. I'd like to look at some of the remaining candidates for head coaching jobs. And this is kind of a blend of college and NFL. But you may have noticed that for the most part, different from a year ago, the names are familiar. The different coaching candidates, now taking Mike McCarthy out of the mix, but the different coaching candidates that are making their rounds are from inside the NFL fraternity, except for Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach. And to my knowledge, the only job that it sounds like he's really interested in is the New York Giants. Doesn't sound like the other jobs are ones that he would take, though it depends right now on who you follow and who's reporting you're listening to. But all this talk about Urban Meyer, the talk about Lincoln Riley, that appears to have been quashed. Squashed, quashed, quelled, quieted, all the QU words. And so now we're talking about guys like Josh McDaniels, Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. So both those guys from the offensive side of the ball, Kevin Stefanski, who's the OC for the Vikings, and then Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Now, obviously, Stefanski and Bieniemy are still working. They're still busy. Schwartz and McDaniels, not so much. Greg Roman, also tied up, obviously, with the Ravens. Robert Saleh, still in play. He's the defensive coordinator. Love watching him on the sidelines. He is so fiery. He has a coach. Well, he has a person assigned to him just to keep him from getting onto the field. Protect the coach. So Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the Niners. And then Wade Phillips is available. I don't know if you saw his tweet on Monday, but he announced that his contract as defensive coordinator with the Rams is not being renewed. And he said, I want to thank them for the opportunity. Most of all, I want to thank the players who I loved working with. I still want to coach and feel I can contribute. Now, he's in his early 70s, but he was the perfect complement for Sean McVay. When McVay first got the job, he's the youngest head coach in the NFL, when he first got the job with the Rams, right away, one of his very first decisions was to hire Wade Phillips as his DC. Phillips had... Did he come straight from Denver? I think he did. He had gone straight from Denver because they had made a coaching change after their Super Bowl win. And so he ends up in Los Angeles where he provides great wisdom and experience to McVay, who was really going through a lot of this stuff on his own for the first time. And Wade Phillips turned that defense into an incredible unit. Brought in a lot of veterans and had some great talent. It was a major reason why they went to the Super Bowl last year. But he's a free agent, so to speak. And then I know Marvin Lewis interviewed with the Cowboys, but I haven't heard his name being mentioned anywhere else. But he's also an experienced head coach that is available. So how would you rank the available candidates right now? Whether they are guys who've been head coaches in the past or whether they aren't, whether they're potentially getting their first go. Different, though, than what we saw with Freddie Kitchens, because Kitchens had only been an offensive coordinator for a couple of months before he got the job and was promoted internally. All of these guys would be leaving their current organizations. But We expected that Ron Rivera and Mike McCarthy would go quickly, and they did. First two candidates off the board. Or first two candidates off the merry-go-round. Meanwhile, the coach's carousel continues to spin. So how would you rank the guys who are left? We still have the New York Giants job, the Cleveland Browns job, and the Carolina Panthers job. Am I missing anything? Nope. Washington's been filled. Dallas has been filled. Yeah. It's a lot of moving parts, you know. So there are some real good candidates out there. Jason Garrett, also available. But as I said on last night's show, right now he's considered to be radioactive waste, it feels like, akin to radioactive waste. That would be the first time I've ever used that analogy. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get you the deets about Mike McCarthy landing in Dallas. I love this hire. I love this fit. I'm so happy for Mike McCarthy. So I'll share more about my opinion. I'd love to hear from you. Twitter, Facebook, what's your reaction to Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones, that marriage in Dallas? And our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Snap out of the gun on third down. They block it up over the middle, caught first down. Gallup kept his feet. 25 left sideline. 10, 5, dancing in. Gallup walks the dog. Touchdown, Cowboys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network. Of course, not hearing Dallas Cowboys football in January, but they have made another humongous decision who they are hiring to succeed Jason Garrett as head coach. And this news broke, oh gosh, it broke now probably 14 hours ago or so. Mike McCarthy moving quickly, I tell you, moving quickly. So let's give you some of the details so you know how this all came together. When the news was breaking, Tom Pelissero, who sat down with Mike McCarthy not long ago and did an entire feature on him for the NFL Network about what he's been doing in this year off from coaching, he actually was one to break the news.
I got a text message from Mike McCarthy about 20 minutes ago saying that he had just signed the paperwork. It's a done deal. And then he had to run to take his kids off to school. This has been a really unique year for McCarthy, who has still been living in the Green Bay area. He's also been putting in a ton of time with some other out of work coaches through the course of the last several months, tracking league trends and other things, as I documented in an NFL Network feature recently. McCarthy had good interviews over the past couple of weeks, impressed the Panthers enough that they brought him back for a second interview. Also had a good meeting with the Browns and with the Giants. But one thing that I took away from watching McCarthy when I went and visited him back in November was, as he was looking at the entire league, he spent a lot of time watching Dak Prescott, the things that the Cowboys were doing with him. That was definitely someone who intrigued him, and now he'll be coaching Dak Prescott imminently here as the Cowboys' new head coach.
Smart, right? Tom Pelissero on NFL Network reporting that Mike McCarthy spent a lot of time studying Dak Prescott. Why do you think that is, peeps? Well, because he's a head coach, because he knows the business, and because we all knew Jason Garrett wasn't under contract for next season. We all knew that he was on a hot seat, so to speak. And the way things went with the Cowboys this year, here's the interesting thing. Dak Prescott had a phenomenal season in terms of numbers. The Cowboys' offense had more yards per game than any other team in the NFL. And yet they were a 500 club. A lot of those yards and those points, a lot of that production came when the games were already decided. And so they padded their stats, but under Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator, with him calling the plays, they put up some pretty impressive numbers. They had three members of their offensive line make the Pro Bowl. They've got some all pros on offense, couple of wide receivers that were over 1,000 yards. Ezekiel Elliott had another 1,000-yard rushing campaign. The numbers are there. But the team didn't, well, the defense highly underachieved and underperformed. And he's already hired his defensive coordinator as Mike Nolan. And if you don't know, they worked together back in San Francisco. Nolan was coach of the Niners going back to 05, I think. Stretching my memory. But Mike McCarthy was on his staff before he took the job as the head coach with Green Bay. And so they've got a long history together. A lot of times, just like any other business, it's about who you know, who you've worked with, who you're most comfortable with, who you trust. And Mike Nolan was McCarthy's first call. And so McCarthy could see the writing on the wall, took a year off to reset, to refresh, to work on ways that he could become a better coach. And in doing so, he looked at the potential openings so that he was prepared. So that when he interviewed for these head coaching jobs, including Dallas, his preparation would be what he could take into that interview with him. I mean, think about it. If you're Jerry Jones and this potential head coach comes in with all kinds of ideas about how he can take Dak Prescott and the offense to the next level, aren't you impressed? Of course you are. So great foresight by Mike McCarthy. Good preparation. Good use of his time out of the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. McCarthy also spoke with the Panthers and the Browns and the Giants. And I read a report that indicated he actually had a second interview with the Giants. So he had had multiple conversations with some of these teams. But once Jerry Jones had spent time with him, Jones wasn't letting him get away without signing the five-year deal. And you know his resume. Even though he got fired at the end, before he even got done with his final season in Green Bay, and it had grown stale there, I get it. He won a Super Bowl after the 2010 season. He led the Packers to the playoffs 9 of 13 years. He bridged the gap between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And here is your Mike McCarthy nerd alert. He's one of only four coaches to lead a franchise to at least 8 straight playoff appearances. Can you name the other 3? One of them's really obvious. One of only 4 coaches in NFL history to lead a franchise to at least 8 straight playoff appearances. See if you can name the other 3. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. So now that McCarthy is off the table, how would you rank the other coaching candidates? Who would you like to lead your team? Panthers, Browns, Giants still available. Brett Favre weighs in on his former head coach taking over in Dallas. You'll hear from him. And I'll tell you, yet again, not just that I'm a big fan of this, but why I'm so happy for McCarthy. And no, it's not just because I got a new job. There's more to it than that.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The biggest frustration part, you go back and look at the past years to this year, one score games or close games, we just didn't get it done this year. And it was very frustrating. Starts with me, starts with this whole group.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can imagine it was really frustrating for Dak Prescott, for the rest of the Dallas Cowboys. And I'd mentioned this a couple of times. Head coach is only one of the major decisions that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have to make. They could potentially have 26 unrestricted free agents that they have to make decisions about as well. Dak Prescott being one of those. Amari Cooper being another one of those. There are a lot of ways that the Dallas Cowboys roster could look extremely different come next season. Or Jerry's going to have to decide about guys that he wants to keep and guys that he doesn't. But he could end up with Mike McCarthy's input bringing back a lot of the same guys.
Oh, yes.
I'm really excited that Mike McCarthy is going to be back on the NFL sidelines for a bunch of reasons. Number one, he was a very successful coach.
Let's just state the facts. I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
And also, doesn't mind telling you that. I guess I don't need to tell him since he already knows it. He's going to bring a fresh perspective on offense. We'll see whether or not he calls the plays. Now, there's a big question that remains to be answered. Kellen Moore did a pretty good job calling the plays this season in his first year as head coach, and he is as head coach, sorry, as offensive coordinator. He is under contract for next year, as is most of the offensive staff. Now, the defensive staff had guys on outgoing contracts, and Mike Nolan reportedly already will take over as the DC under McCarthy. Will he keep some of the offensive guys? Will he call plays himself? Brett Favre is one of the quarterbacks who played under Mike McCarthy, obviously very successful. And if you look at the way that he bridged that gap between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, while there were certainly some angst and some animosity there because Brett wasn't sure he wanted to retire. Fact is, McCarthy and the Green Bay front office knew what they were looking for with Rodgers, and they were able to develop him and get him ready. And he's become one of the best coaches that the NFL coaches, one of the best quarterbacks that the NFL has ever seen. Got my brain going in a bunch of different directions. Brett Favre does a show on Sirius XM NFL radio, and as you hear his comments about McCarthy, you can tell this is not part of him being in a studio. Nope, it sounds like he's out on the farm somewhere, but he did weigh in on McCarthy to Dallas.
A good fit for Mike, and I think it's a great fit for the Cowboys. Now, in saying that, you know, no one knows what, you know, the end result will be, but I believe that he is tailor-made for that job. I think he brings a certain level of brass and toughness. And I'm not here to knock Jason Garrett, the job he did. I'm talking about from here and into the future. I think he'll bring a level of brash and toughness, but along with that, a high level of confidence and believability.
I love those qualities, and I think that's exactly what the Cowboys need. I was not on board, and I've said this before, with the idea of bringing in, say, a Lincoln Riley. And it's nothing against Lincoln. He's done really well at Oklahoma in taking over for Bob Stoops. In fact, that's one reason why Coach Stoops thought it was okay to step away, because he felt like the program was in good hands with Coach Riley. And so Riley may end up in the NFL at some point. So may Urban Meyer. But I didn't believe he was the right fit for the Cowboys because they're not in rebuild mode. Now, there could be some transition on the roster, and I wouldn't be surprised if they end up making some free agent moves or if they try to address some of the defensive question marks. McCarthy actually ran both a 4-3 and a 3-4 during his time in Green Bay. We'll see whether or not they make a switch from what they've been doing. And so a lot is up in the air. But to bring in a guy who is wet behind the ears, who's green, who doesn't have any NFL experience, come straight out of the college ranks, to me, wasn't the right fit, no matter how hot shot he is. Because this is a team full of veterans, a lot of guys who have spent a few years in the league, and theoretically, with the right leadership, could be challenging next season. Should have been challenging this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. This is not some secret revelation that I'm sharing with you, but I was thinking about it on Monday as I heard the news about McCarthy. I'm really happy for him because I know what it's like to be fired. I've been fired twice. I've been laid off at least one other time. There's one where I'm not really sure what happened, but whatever. I've been dropped from radio rotations before. It's no fun. At least for me personally, the first time I got fired was actually both times I got fired were total blindsides. I had no idea it was coming. I went into meetings with my bosses thinking that we were doing a year evaluation. I was all prepared to ask for a raise, to talk about various ways I thought we could improve the product and the show. And both times I was unceremoniously fired, just like that, in meetings that lasted 2.5 minutes. They didn't need to give a reason. They just fired me, and that was the end of it. And the first time it happened, I thought my career was over. I mean, I was really young. It was my first full-time sports radio job. It was a startup station. None of this stuff I got at the time. It was just me getting fired, and I was petrified. I was far away from home, halfway across the country. I didn't know what it was going to do. And furthermore, I was broke. I worked in radio, for heaven's sakes. And so it's scary to get fired. Now, in the case of Mike McCarthy, he doesn't have to worry about the money. Thankfully, that's not a concern for him. But he lived in Green Bay with his wife, who's a local, and his kids who go to school there. He got fired before the end of last season. This was the only head coaching job he'd ever known. He's entrenched in the Green Bay community. He didn't like how they did it. He had every reason to be bitter and angry and full of angst. To trash the Packers. He could have done all of those things. And while he did share his initial opinion about not liking the way the Packers handled it, he didn't stay bitter. He didn't allow this firing to knock him off course for too long. Maybe he did wallow for a little bit. We didn't hear from him for quite a while. Although in Green Bay, he was still taking his kids to school. He didn't move. He didn't leave. He didn't run. He didn't hide. And over the last year, he did have an opportunity, if he wanted it, to return to coaching right away. But he decided to wait for the perfect opportunity. Spend a year with his family. Get recharged. Get rejuvenated. Work on making himself a better coach. I love that. I love the fact that he did not just sit back and wait for a franchise to call him based on his resume and what he'd done in the past. No, he started moving forward. He didn't allow that failure to signal the end of the road. And he didn't allow it to derail him from his goals and his dreams. Instead, he spent the time developing himself, making sure that the next team that came calling, or teams that came calling, he was ready to wow them. No one could begrudge him if he got angry about it. And I'm sure there were some of those emotions, no doubt. But he took the high road for the most part. And then he set about making himself a better coach. He waited for the right opportunity. And now here it is. He goes from one of the most storied franchises in the NFL, in the history of this league, to America's team, to a team that may be even higher profile than the Packers. Not so much because, and they do obviously have Super Bowls in their past, but more recently, it's the bright lights and it's the big city, and it's completely different than Green Bay. He's willing to move his family, to start over. He said very emotionally in a public interview with Tom Pelissero that this is what his family needs to do, that he misses it. He can't wait to get back to it. He's worn his heart on his sleeve a little bit. If you missed my conversation with AJ Hawk, what was that, about a month ago, Chris? About a month ago or so, we were talking to him. In fact, it was right before the Heisman Trophy ceremony, so it would have been early December. So yes, about a month ago. We talked to him about Mike McCarthy. It'd be kind of fun to bring that back. He talked about McCarthy behind the scenes and what kind of a coach he was and why players respected him. And why he feels like he would be a good fit in a lot of places. But in addition to all the experience and the winning resume and the quarterbacks he's worked with and the number of stops he's had in the NFL and the fact that he continues to earn a living coaching football, is that he didn't sit on that. He didn't rest on that. He wasn't arrogant about it and thought, I'm just going to wait for these teams come to me because I'm good enough, which he could have. Instead, he took care of what he could control. Even though things didn't end well for him in Green Bay, he didn't let that deter him. And how many people would stay in the same place? I didn't. I left pretty quickly. Both times that I got fired, I was out. So congratulations to Coach McCarthy. I'm really excited to see what he does in Dallas. I think it's a perfect match for that locker room, for the franchise. He's worthy of that stage and that sideline. And we'll see how it goes with Jerry Jones. Mike McCarthy's more of an alpha male for sure. He's not a guy that's going to get pushed around. He's not a demonstrative personality so much. And he keeps things in house. But he's definitely a guy that is going to command the room. No coach has ever won a Super Bowl with two different teams. McCarthy could be the first. How do you like it? How do you like this hiring? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm still waiting for someone to tell me the other three coaches in NFL history who have ever led a franchise to at least eight straight playoff appearances. One of them is really obvious. Chris and Dave, would you like to guess? Would you like to try to guess? You guys are not prepared for this, are you?
I hadn't given it much thought yet, but obviously Bill Belichick is one.
Yes, Bill Belichick is one.
I would have to keep thinking, but Mike Tomlin, potentially.
I'm not going to tell.
Okay. Yeah. Chris, your turn.
Chris, do you have any other ideas?
Tom Landry might be one of them.
Tom Landry is definitely one of them, which is kind of cool considering that he did it with Dallas.
And then I have two more guesses. I'm either going to go Chuck Knoll or Don Shula.
Chuck Knoll is the other.
Wow, how about that?
Did you look it up?
No.
Are you lying?
No.
Because I can't see what you're doing back there with your Google.
No.
Chris loves Google. So those are your answers. That's awesome, right? What company he keeps. All right, again, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. How do you like this hire? 855-212-4227. Tua Tagovailoa makes his decision. I think it surprised a lot of people in Tuscaloosa, but he is primed and ready to enter the NFL draft while he recovers from injury. You'll hear from him next. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.